a lot of times during that journey, creative doubt seeps in. Totally normal. It's a common challenge for anyone in the creative field. And you just find ways to navigate that. So for me, you know, and everyone's different, but for me, it was just really a solid support system. You know, I've spoken about my niece and her course correction with me, but honestly, like, she has been pretty amazing. She read my entire trilogy before it even went through edits. I told her, I was like, listen, I need constructive feedback. Don't make me look like a fool out there. Like, if it needs work, you need to tell me that it needs work. And I trusted her to do that. And she did. And it made a huge difference for me.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth, going strong today like nine packs, abs, and counting, known as podmatch.com. Don't know if a site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers because she's a first-time author. Yo, that's right, indeed. They put pen to paper, finger to key, maybe toe to key if they were silly for a day or two. To join the business of immortality by publishing their freaking book, indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she's a magical mom as well as a wonderful wife, a speaker, a dog lover, and a gamer. So let's give it up to the J to the F to the M herself, Ms. JF Monroe. How you feeling today?
I'm ready to go, Dom. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, indeed. My pleasure, indeed. Just seeing that smile on the other side. Even though this is only audio only, I'm like, oh, someone's a lucky man.
Appreciate that. That's a great way to start this off. I like that. That's good.
Oh, yeah. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Yeah, but hey, what I know, the smile probably wasn't always there. It's probably some frowns, some polar bears, maybe a trapdoor full of Legos you had to go through to become the fabulous lady that you are today. So mind filling us in on how you became Miss JF Monroe herself?
Sure. So it probably happened back in 2018. I had just had my son. I was on maternity leave and I had a storm brewing in my brain. And so what started as a idea for a script, because that was my background, I was a theater major. I got 47 pages into this script because I was bored. You know, I was on maternity leave. I wasn't doing anything. And my brain doesn't really know how to shut off. And so I just started typing up something. And I got 47 pages in and realized very quickly that this was not going to be a script. And this was going to be a book. I think that when I started to transfer it into a book format, the 47 pages might have covered like two chapters of the book. And so it was a little eye-opening for me that I was like, all right, well, I'm not good. You know, 90 page manuscript turned into probably like a 300 plus page first book of a trilogy. And it was just all pie in the sky from there. I mean, it took a long time, but it was a really, really interesting and honestly a fun journey. But yeah, but that's where it started. Maternity leave. I just bored them.
Yeah, so mommy brain kicked in.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Where things change, body gets weird, and then random desires for random food you probably never thought of before appear, and then it's like eating a random cannoli or a cinnamon roll, and you're like, you know what? I think I need to write a fantasy play, a whole novel. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
Exactly. That's literally how the brain works. You're eating like a hot dog with coleslaw on it, and you're just like, why am I here? And then boom, you're like, you know what doesn't get talked about enough? The Four Horsemen. And then there it was.
Ah, so why the Four Horsemen? Is that a spiritual bet? You just read the book Revelation while the baby was still on its way?
So funny you should say that. I had heard of the Four Horsemen through the book of Revelation. And then I went to, read the book because I was like, that sounded fascinating to me. I think I had heard about it a little more in depth on a show. They had made reference to it. And I'm like, that's interesting. I want to learn more about that. And I went to the source material, and it's, I want to say like four lines in the book where they're just like, here they are, they're here, and then they're not here anymore. So I was like, oh, okay. I completely respect that. That's great. They made an entrance. They made their presence known. But I just became absolutely fascinated with that little bit of text. I was just like, well, I want to know more. And I picked up literature on it and I started reading through it, and there's all these interpretations that are pretty fascinating about it. And that's, just the research started churning in my brain.
There you go. That's right. Indeed. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. So in your studies, did you randomly get a Google pop-up about the wrestling group, the Four Horsemen?
Yeah, no, there was some interesting Google searches. There were some interesting Google searches. I will leave it at that. So, I wouldn't recommend, be specific when you're Googling the Four Horsemen.
There you go. I see a blonde white guy with sunshades and the big giant shiny gold object.
Things are right.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Like, yep. Like Four Horsemen. It's like, hey, this doesn't look like that. Wait a second. What the hell is this? Ric Flair.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, hold on a second. I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be looking. So.
So there's not a character in the book that says these shoes cost more than your whole house.
No.
Oh.
Sadly, I kind of feel a little bad about it now, but no, there is not the character.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. But hey, for those that know background of wrestling altogether, they've been like confused as all get out. Like, hey, what's this? Is this turning into a freaking fantasy novel that gone rogue?
Exactly. What's going on here? What's going on?
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So I have a theater freaking background too. So I guess you love plays as a mini JF.
Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes. I haven't been to one in quite some time, but growing up, I went to them all. I saw The Lion King, Wicked. I was always on Broadway, usually with my mom. And then when I got married, we went to a couple of plays together. So it was incredible. If I could, and I don't even think I have the words to describe it, but to just see things like that come alive on the stage and be almost able to touch it very clearly affected my writing. And you'll be able to see that in the book, how it comes out. It's just incredible. I even just, when I talk about the book, and my niece has yelled at me repeatedly about this, I call them scenes. So I'm like, yeah, when I was writing the scene, and she's like, chapter. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, chapter. That's what I meant. But in my brain, it's like, it is a movie, right? Like, it's cinematic. It's happening. And, you're talking about the Four Horsemen here. So, like, a lot of the things that are going on the page are huge and impactful and triumphant. And so you're trying to describe it as if someone is watching it, and that is how my brain works. So I call them scenes, and every time she catches me, she's like, chapter. So trying really hard to keep chapter in my brain.
Ah, there we go. So now we have one of those future moments to wait to look forward to. It's like, yep, one day you and your niece are gonna go to a freaking Broadway show. Be like, oh, I can't wait for the next chapter. Be like,
exactly, exactly. And she's gonna scold me, and I'm gonna tell her like, this was your fault. So you did this.
Freaking hilarious. I'm like, ah, it took all these years to get it right.
Right.
Thank God I got it right in reverse. It's wrong. No.
There you go. That's exactly. That's like, that's definitely sums up a large chapter of. Oh, goodness.
You'll love to see it indeed. And that's freaking awesome, too. It's like, have that wonderful theater background, indeed. And it seems like that seems to be kind of the foundation for a few writers. It's like they have this idea, they make it a script, and then make it a screenplay, and be like, you know what? Maybe this can be a whole freaking book. So, what was the process like taking the whole freaking play and making it novelized?
Honestly, you know, it had its challenges, but I had a blast through the whole thing. So I am a very big believer. You know, I love doing research. If I get interested in a topic, I'm all for it. But I'm also just really big on just going with your gut. And so I had started by, like, you know, the basics. I'm trying to write a book. Let's look up the format. Like, how do I even begin to start writing a book? I have no idea what's the right platform to use. A lot of people like Word. Some people use this. Some people use that. And I realized very quickly that my brain tends to stutter when it gets information overload. And so what I decided was, I'm just going to scrap all of that. And I'm just going to write on a Word document, and I'm going to put dialogue on there, and I'm going to put as much detail as I possibly can, because I can see it. And if I can see it, I can write it. And so that is where I started with this. I started right from the beginning, right from the first chapter. I am not one of those people that can skip around. I got to go in order. So from the first chapter to the very end, I just kept going. And a lot of times during that journey, creative doubt seeps in. Totally normal. It's a common challenge for anyone in the creative field. And you just find ways to navigate that. So for me, you know, and everyone's different, but for me, it was just really a solid support system. You know, I've spoken about my niece and her course correction with me, but honestly, like, she has been pretty amazing. She read my entire trilogy before it even went through edits. I told her, I was like, listen, I need constructive feedback. Don't make me look like a fool out there. Like, if it needs work, you need to tell me that it needs work. And I trusted her to do that. And she did. And it made a huge difference for me. But I also want to, like, give myself some credit here through this journey. You know, I've learned to be a lot more gentler with myself. I'm usually my own harshest critic. And with this trilogy, I really, like, allowed myself to be proud of what I accomplished. Writing a book, writing anything really, but because I know it started as a screenplay, but writing a book has been like a really lifelong dream of mine. And I didn't just write one, you know, I wrote three. And that is something that throughout this entire journey, I just kept reminding myself whenever doubt crept in, like, you did it. You know, you absolutely did it. And it took off from there.
If copyright was a problem, I'd bust out a Hall & Oates, you did it in a minute. That's right. You did it. You did it. You did it. You did it. You did it in a minute. Yep. Even though it was longer than a minute, probably freaking thousands of minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say probably longer than a minute, but yeah, you get the gist. Absolutely.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's always great to have a good beta reader. That's right indeed. That's right indeed, especially the young readers where the filters have not been fully developed yet.
100%. I actually very much agree with that. And she fits that to the T.
Ah, there we go. Maybe to the green tea too. Oh, man. So, my goodness, so how's it like balancing all of that writing with being a mom and having a full-time job, if I'm not mistaken, on top of that?
Ooh, yes. So what I do is, because I have to go in order. So obviously, full-time mom, that doesn't really abide by any time constraints or, you know, limits. And so that usually, that takes priority. Whatever the kid needs, the kid gets. But when he's in school, I'm doing my full-time job. It's a 9-to-5. Work-life balance is good. It's a remote role. So I am blessed that way. And then what I did was my writing came at night. So kid is tucked into bed. We are on the couch, you know, maybe the husband's playing a video game or we're watching a documentary. And I am taking those few hours to just literally deep dive into my writing because every moment counted for me. There was not one bit of time that was wasted in my day. And it gets exhausting, but it's kind of like that accomplished exhausting where it's like, all right, I'm really tired and I'm about to pass out, but I did a lot today. I got through my job. Kid's happy. He's healthy. He's got what he needs. And now it's time to just kind of sit and get started on this book. And I did that every day, every single day.
Ah, me luck indeed, me luck indeed. It's right indeed. So what do you think has probably been the most difficult part about getting the whole trilogy together?
That's a great question. The hardest part for me, admittedly, is world building. It has been a challenge for me since even before I started. I just knew, even with reading fantasy, that I could never the capacity that some of these authors have like constructed their world building, reached that. And I didn't want to be quite honest. So it didn't bring me the joy of like character development or writing, you know, certain types of dialogue. There were other things in the story that brought me immense joy. World building was admittedly a rough one. When I describe places in the book, like, you know, Terra Vista or the Void Heart or Arcanidia, I'm focusing more on anchoring these settings, these fantastical settings, with deeply real character experiences. So every time I mention something about world building, I will taper it off with like something ridiculously relatable happening to the characters, because that's how I got through the world building. Like that was my mechanism, because I admit it again, like I didn't feel confident enough to dish out world building like some of the fantasy authors out there today. They can knock it out. You could see some of them thrive in it. That is my needs improvement. That is my, you know, non-area of expertise. That one always stumped me.
Pun intended, huh?
World building. Pretty much, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Not to say, you know, that I didn't give it my best shot and that there's not these really deliberate connections between world building and human emotions. Like when I did it, I feel like it came out really well. It's just not as intricate as some of the world building that I've seen. You know, when I refer to territories, I'm doing a compass. I'm like, all right, the northern territories, the eastern, the western, like, I'm not really getting into, you know, what these territories are called or who runs them. Like, it is very simple and it is easy to follow. That's how I like my world building. That's how I wrote my book.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Because, yeah, it can be easy to get lost sometimes depending on where you are in a certain book. It's like, hey, where the hell am I on this page?
Right, exactly. You have to be very careful, because if you go down that world building hole, sometimes you're like, uh-oh, where's the plot? Like, I kind of lost what I was speaking about because I got so descriptive in writing this, you know, beautiful world that I've created. So that was one thing that I did not have to worry about. And when I was writing, because I did not do that, I made sure, at least I tried to make sure not to do that.
Me luck indeed. So you've learned to become more gentle with yourself in the process, too, on top of being a wonderful JF the Builder herself with the world building and improving on it. So is there anything else you learned about yourself through the whole writing to publishing process?
Oh gosh, I'm not good at marketing this book. So just throwing that out there. Loved writing the book. I loved the challenges of writing the book. And then when I spoke to the consultants that were helping me, they were like, all right, time to get you on social media. And I for the first time, I think my mind blanked. I was like, what do you mean social? Like, what do I got to do here? And, you know, I wrote a book because I didn't want to talk to people and did not want to do that. So I was like, uh-oh. And so since then, you know, I've gotten an Instagram and I've gotten a TikTok, and it's gotten better. I will say that it has gotten better. But in the beginning, there was a lot of nerves around that because I'm not an extroverted person like that. There are a lot of brilliant people, yourself included, that can do things like that and I respect them 100%. I know who I am. That is not me. So it was a challenging part, but yeah, marketing was, and I learned a lot of things. I learned a ton of things that I am so grateful for. It's not my forte. It is not. If you looked at my TikTok, I mean, if you want to laugh, if you want like a pretty decent laugh, you could go look at my TikTok, but yeah, it's there. That's what I can say.
Hey, good thing you decided to go ahead and put on your courage t-shirt on. That's right indeed. Time to courage muscle. Jump in. That's right indeed. Promote yourself indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah, that was one of the things that got you on the show. I was like, man, she ain't got no interviews yet. Damn. And then I looked at the Instagram. I was like, oh, it's my first book. I'm like, all right. All right. So I won't be annoyed here to talk. All right. Shoot. Support a fellow first time off. Let me go ahead and get her on the show indeed. So, hey, kudos to you for jumping in. That's right indeed, because hey, folks need to know. And besides, once it's on the internet, it's forever in a good way in this case, because hey, name of the game, you wanted to write this book, you want it to be successful in marketing, that can be as long as you want it to be. So hey, the more get your name and face out there, especially the books themselves, the better.
Yeah, I appreciate that glass half full mentality. That's a pretty awesome way of looking at it. So yeah, that's how I've been going. And it's been working so far. I've been okay.
Yeah, plus you got the black and gold website too. It's all well done. So, hey, you got yourself set up for success. So, it's a good thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Indeed. Yes, ma'am. Indeed. So, the good news is I heard the wonderful trilogy, at least book number one, got a makeover. So, now it's shinier and bigger and badder than ever. So, what led to the book makeover?
Yeah, so I can be impulsive at times, which is probably not great when you're like writing books and doing stuff like that. So I wrote the book and I was like, all right, what's next? That's how my brain works. What is next? So it's not necessarily like a healthy mentality of like you're supposed to kind of settle in and enjoy. Okay, I wrote a book. This is great. Okay, what's next? And so I was like, well, I want other people to read the book. And so how do I go about doing that? And I did about, I want to say maybe 3 query letters to publishers. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to do this in your book. Yeah. And so I was like, how can I do this myself? And so I, you know, Amazon had the KDP and I read up on that. And honestly, you know, they make it quite easy to self-publish. And the process itself was pretty great. I went on Fiverr and met with some really great designers that did cover art. I got a cover and yeah, I kind of uploaded it to the system and there it was on Amazon. And I just was like, all right, well, there it is. Now people will read it. And you know,
yeah,
that obviously is not going to happen when you don't market your book. And so through my niece, actually, I met these wonderful people. She had a friend, you know, his mom. She worked in publishing for a very long time, and now she was doing like this publishing consulting, and she introduced us and we hit it off, and they have been absolutely amazing. What we did was we took the book down and we basically just started from scratch. And the things that I have learned from, not just from a marketing aspect, but from like ISBNs and, you know, copyrights and, you know, how to format your book even better than how I formatted it and where to place things. It has been a completely eye-opening experience and they have been absolutely wonderful. I'm actually going to give them like a little shout out. They are called Press Tinley and Kristen Wise and Mayera Padera work together, and they have made some, they have made a dream of mine, you know, even better than what I thought it could be. And they're just looking to help people. And I was lucky enough to be one of those people.
Me like indeed. So my goodness, did you format the first book yourself via Microsoft Word?
Everything, Dom. I did everything myself. I formatted it. I edited it, which was an interesting process. And I did it all myself. And I was like, I wrote the book. I want to get it out there. And I'm just going to do it. And so I did it. And I, you know, I stand by that. I was pretty proud of that to accomplish at least that much. But then they kind of took it and they nurtured it and they just made it better. So I am most grateful for doing that.
Sure, kudos to you. My God, my first ever book, I did the formatting through Microsoft Word myself. Hell on freaking earth. I wish that on nobody.
Neither do I. And what's even, not worse, but what's even more interesting about my editing process was, you know, you want to do it right, right? Like, you're like, I want to get this right. And so one of the biggest things for me with editing was I read it out loud. And so I want to be clear, I wrote a fantasy romance book. And so there are scenes in particular that could be a little embarrassing to read out loud. I stand by them and I put it out there. It's launched. But like when you're sitting in front of a computer and you are alone and you are reading these scenes out loud because you want to watch for the rhythm of dialogue and the flow of descriptions and catch overused words and clunky phrases, the levels of red that I turned reading this book was, you know, I didn't know there were that many levels of red that you could turn. So it was an interesting editing process, but yeah, I don't wish it on anybody. If you can, if you have the money, get the help. But if you don't, like me, then please, I do encourage you to like read your book out loud. Just do it because it is so helpful. Minus the little, you know, embarrassing parts. Like, and it can feel a little weird, feel a little awkward, but it is such a necessary experience because it really does help through that process.
So you're a tomato, a radish, and a pomegranate all in the same day.
All in the same day. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I heard you said nobody's in the house, so wait, it all worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
Hubby be like, honey, what are you doing in there?
Right. And I'm like, get out of the room. No, get out of here. I'm working. You need to go.
Yeah, just changing the channels in here, working remote here.
Exactly. Exactly. Do it. Just doing my job, okay?
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, I said you're going on a bit of a tour promoting the work that you're doing. Is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh gosh, no. I have no specific question. I want to talk about this book so badly. I will answer any and all questions that come my way. That's something that I learned when navigating social media, especially TikTok. There is a really wonderful community out there that I am slowly trying to integrate into. They're just so lovely and so welcoming. And so my biggest thing is trying to just get them, like hook them, right? Like I'm trying to hook them first. And then honestly, I will talk about anything that they want to talk about. I don't have like a particular question. I'm open. I'm honest. I try to be as transparent as I possibly can with my own journey. I'm always willing to help, you know, answer any and all questions that they might have. So it's nothing too specific. It's probably been asked before, to be quite honest. I would just love to share in that community.
Oh, all right, cool. So after enough time, then the real author can come out. We're going to be talking about raising worms today. That's right, indeed. That's right. There's a character's going to be and part four is going to be raising worms for no reason. That's right, indeed. And there's going to be a random griffin that comes out of nowhere and just eats all the worms. That's right.
You got to stop telling them the end of the book, Dom. Like, that's top secret stuff right there.
Okay, so the early bird might get the worm. Okay, gotcha. That's right. No cherry on top yet, buddies. You have to read the first 200 pages. Then you'll eventually reach the cherry.
There you go.
That's right indeed. So your character's actually influenced by your first ever doggo, if I'm not mistaken, the German Shepherd.
Oh, yes, Mac. So he is the animal companion in the book. He's awesome, and he was very heavily influenced on my first dog, Peanuts, who was a German Shepherd mix, but he looked full German Shepherd. And we had a really great relationship. He was very protective. He was loyal. He followed me around. And I was just like, you know, why not put him in? And he fit into the story very well, like with where I wanted to take his, and I'm going to call him a character because he is a character, but where I wanted to take his character, he fit very well in the story, down to his, you know, being a German Shepherd. Like, I picked that type of dog because of certain things that take place throughout the other books that, you know, get revealed. So he was a very intentional addition, and he was there from the beginning when it was still a screenplay. He was in there. So Mac was from the beginning to the end.
Ah, there we go, indeed. That's right, indeed. Any other friends and family that made a cameo, not cameo, in the trilogy?
So it's really funny that you asked that. I wouldn't say friends, family. I don't think I kept it that close to the vest. But, you know, I meet a lot of people every day. And you pick up on things. You pick up on quirks. You pick up on tells, you know, how people act in certain situations. And that was a really big thing for me in the story. It is a fantasy story. It's a fantasy setting. But I wanted my characters to be as real as possible. So another thing that when I read, you know, fantasy books, I was like, I love these books. I love them. But to be quite honest, if I am thrown into this world, I'm dead. Like, I'm dead in 5 seconds. I'm not making it to the end of the story. And so there's a level of relatability in my characters where, and this is all, you know, I hope that people can see them and say, okay, like, I can make it, you know, because these characters are given these extraordinary powers, but at the end of the day, they're humans. So yeah, they have these powers of these four horsemen, but their bodies are still very human. You know, they can only take so much. So it's almost like that double-edged sword of they have this immense power, but they can't really use it to the fullest extent without kind of destroying themselves. And the way that I wrote their fights when they do, you know, when they have these battles, is almost like something takes over. So it's not really them fighting, it's like the entities within them. So I really try very hard to keep them as relatable, as grounded as possible. And it shows not only with the heroes, but with the villains too. So what I like to do is I love to explore the spectrum of heroes and villains in my writing. Each character exists along like this range that I have in my brain, and I choose where they fall based on what best serves the story. So in this series, I leaned on to the reluctant heroes, right? They're very common in stories like this, those who didn't ask for the responsibility but stepped up anyway. However, they are flawed. You know, they're often having to make these morally gray decisions or choose paths that challenge conventional definitions of heroism, right? We're not looking at a Superman. We're not looking at, you know, a golden teen here. They make the calls that are right in the situation that is presented to them. And I tried to keep that as relatable as possible. What would Dom do in this situation? You know, what would JF do in this situation? Not, you know, what would the characters do? Then they would do it. And for villains, again, embrace the full spectrum. So there are gray villains who could almost be considered anti-heroes in this book. There are sympathetic villains who make you question their actions. That's huge right now in fantasy, that kind of morally gray villain that you love to either hate or you love to hate and then love. And then my particular favorite type of villain, which is that cold-blooded monster, right? That unapologetic, evil person who doesn't need, you know, a tragic backstory. You think like Sauron type villain, pre-Amazon Prime's version, right? Where he got the tragic backstory. Just Lord of the Rings. Just Lord of the Rings Sauron. He is pure evil and he is facing off against good. He is the pure embodiment of opposition to the heroes. And so by writing these layered characters, I'm aiming to like talk about the complexities of human nature and encourage readers to really reflect on how good and evil aren't always as clear-cut as they seem, but also sometimes they are.
Good deal indeed. That's right indeed. So I was going there as an actual villain, not one of them villains who had a tragic backstory where it's like, you know what? They had a line, but they were right.
Exactly. Like, you know, I might not agree with your method, but I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, I can get on board with that. No, these villains are cold-blooded. You should not be rooting for certain villains in this story.
me lucky indeed. So any research went into the whole process of putting this wonderful trilogy together?
Oh, a ton, not just like with mythology, which is very big in this book. I said I was a theater major. I was a classics minor, and I just drank in all different types of mythology, and Greek mythology stood out most to me. There's Greek mythology littered in this book. Then there's Christian mythology, obviously speaking to the four horsemen. And it's just, I throw it all together because I love it. Like I love it so much. I'm actually reading right now, I think the book is called Mythos by Stephen Fry. Like, I love mythology. And so when I was researching this book, how to put it together, I wanted to add layers of that in there, you know, what the journey could be, very similar to a lot of journeys that are taken in the Greek mythology world. But not just that, some of the research was very interesting. And I'm going to get really real with you right now. When you're writing a fantasy novel, you have to Google certain things. And so one of the things, and you can't judge me on this, but I'm going to tell you, because I got really nervous typing it into my Google bar, but like was like, you know, when you get stabbed, like, do you scream out loud, or is it more of like a hitch in the breath? Because that was something that meant something to me. Like, I wanted it to be as realistic as possible. And so I was getting nervous because, you know, I was telling my husband, I'm like, they're going to have my laptop monitored. Like, I'm Googling, you know, what happens when you stab a person. I Googled, you know, what a gunshot wound feels like. Like, I was really freaking out. And I would try to put at the end of my Google search, like, this is for a book. Like, I'm researching for a book, which I feel like made it worse because I was trying to, like, make an excuse as to why I'm looking up these things. But that was just my brain being very paranoid. But that's how intense the research got sometimes, down to, you know, how I wanted things, you know, pronounced. There is a part in the first book where something comes out of someone's mouth that is not English. It is Latin. And so I needed to make sure I understood like what they were saying. And so I had to research that. So there was a lot of big research that went into it, broad research, and that I took liberties on, of course. And then there was that minor research where I'm like, okay, I just kind of need to know what this kind of feels like. And so I'm just going to Google it and see what happens. And Google did not let me down. Reddit did not let me down, just to be specific. Reddit was a true champion in my research.
freaking love Reddit for stuff like that. It's like I forgot what social media platform I was on, but it was like, yep, no matter what problems you may have, there's some guy who figured out on Reddit 9 years ago that'll help you
That is not a lie. That is
out.
not a lie. When I Googled the I think it was like the gunshot in particular. Oh my gosh. Like, first of all, don't go doing that on your time off or anything. There's no need to do stuff like that. But like the information that people just offered up, and it matched. Like, it matched when you did Google searches. So I'm like, okay, this is real. Like, this is not just somebody, talking just to talk. This is like, they are telling me what it feels like to go through this experience. And so it was eye-opening and very fascinating, but a little jarring at times.
So, was there peanut butter in the jar or was it jelly?
Oh my God. So my husband's allergic to peanuts. I'm gonna have to go jelly on this one because I like having him around, but I did love peanut butter at a time, I will say.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 'cause when you said jarring, I'm like, all right, so there was a peanut butter or jelly. It's like, all right, so it's
I get
jelly.
it.
All
It's
right.
jelly. It has to be jelly. I'm sorry.
There you go. That's right, indeed. Is there a particular flavor?
Oh my God, this could like make or break me right now. I'm gonna
No,
say
it
that
won't.
it will. It's gonna make or break. People are gonna judge it. So strawberry. I'm gonna go strawberry with an appreciation for grape. And that is my most
you're
serious.
good.
That's my most serious answer today. I just want you to know. Like, that was really intense.
All of a sudden, you're gonna go rogue, like, nah, fam, apricots, baby.
Right, exactly. I thought about it. I'm like, should I throw him off and say apricot? But no, I was like strawberry, and then the healthy respect for grape jelly. Yeah.
That's just me messing with people. You're good.
Thanks.
It's not like my cashews or almond question. You're fine.
Right, I know. Oh gosh. Please, one of those questions at a time, please.
Well, speaking of food references, shoot, now that I think about it.
My goodness.
So, your fabulous book number one, The Legendary Guardians, Reunions. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
The Legendary Guardians Reunions. If it was the food, what would it be and why? This is going to be, you're going to be my downfall with this question.
Uprising with this question. Ha
You're gonna, you are, you're gonna, tacos. It is like a taco with everything on it, though. Like, I'm talking, meat, lettuce, cheese, tomatoes, onions, like packed full taco. It has a little bit of everything. What I tried to do with this book was give the readers a little bit of everything so that when they go into book two, we can start to really get into like what is going on. So it's going to be my answer.
So there you go. So that means this book is extra good on Tuesdays. You love to see it.
Like that. Yeah. Yes.
That's right indeed. So it looks like it's more than equine therapy.
That's true. That's true. Yes. That is very true. You do get to meet there that, but yeah. More than equine therapy, 100%.
There you go. I can create a joke post for you down there. I'll be like, yeah, the Four Horsemen, Legendary Guardians. It's more than equine therapy. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. That's my quote. That's gonna be my quote.
It's like, don't they like give you a message like you're going to die or something? Like, yeah, that's a form of therapy for some people. Like, oh, damn. All right. Ouch.
Right. Wow. You got the bed down pretty deep there. You're like, okay.
It's like, yep, that's right indeed. Good old all be revealed on this one, buddy.
Exactly.
Oh, Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would tell her to keep going. That, oh gosh, 25, that's so different. Keep going because it gets better. Like, it gets a lot better. A lot of people get really nervous about growing up, getting older. But I've been having the time of my life. Like, age is nothing but a number to me. So 25, I may have had slightly different aspirations. I may not have known exactly where my life was going, but I'm not surprised where I'm sitting today. I'm just grateful for it. And so I would just tell her, like, just keep going through it. Just keep going. Like, why not? We're here, right? Might as well make the most of it. So keep going.
Oh, yeah. Keep going, indeed. That's right, indeed. You're that right, folks. It gets better and not butter. Keep going. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Indeed. Well, the good news is folks only got a small percentage of what you have to offer. Folks need to dive in more and keep up with your journey because there's more that freaking awaits. So for those who need to keep up with you and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Sure. The book is on Amazon. It is on Kindle Unlimited for free. You can check out the website at jfrobookshelf.com, or you can come visit me on social media because I am there as well at jf.monroe for both Instagram and TikTok.
Woohoo! Well, you heard that right, folks. Gonna put a link to all of our fabulous wares in the show notes. That way you can dive into the wonderful world. That's right, indeed. See what awaits. That's right, indeed. There's dogs, there's some equine therapy, some romance, some fantasy. Who knows? There might be a wand. Who knows? There might even be a kangaroo with a wand. You never know. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. But I'm just kidding. Ain't no kangaroo in there.
Sadly, no. There's no kangaroo.
She might hop to it in book five. We never know.
There you go. I'll take that down as a note. I will.
So there you have it, folks. So go ahead and cop the copies. It's good stuff, indeed. She's got you covered, indeed, for your fantasy needs. So my goodness, before Penguin tries to hop in the pouch and join the party for equine therapy, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, just thank you so much for taking a shot on me. I appreciate it. I'm glad that we found each other. And yeah, I hope that this isn't the end. You know, I hope to see you again down the line. Maybe our paths cross again.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.